I'm going to begin this morning by sharing from Psalm 108. And it reads, "My heart, O God, is steadfast. I will sing and make music with all my soul. Awake, harp and lyre. I will awaken the dawn. I will praise you, Lord, among the nations. I will sing of you among peoples. For great is your love, higher than the heavens. Your faithfulness reaches to the skies. Be exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let your glory be over all the earth. Save us and help us with your right hand, that those you love may be delivered." Amen. David directed all glory to God. He recognized that God is worthy of great glory and great praise. And we may be a small group this morning, but I think this morning was great. And your praise to him is a gift. David's song gives thanks to God and gives thanks for his steadfast confidence in him. His praise is very open and public. He gave the best part of his day, his morning, to praise God. Perhaps that's what we should be doing in the morning. Open up our Bibles, read our devotionals. David knew God's loving kindness was never ending. The early church is known for its sense of unity. They regarded people as more than things. Imagine that, recognizing that human beings are more important than that cool car I have, or the prestigious job that I have, or my wonderful new pair of shoes. People matter more. The believers had been touched by God, and they found it easy to share. The passage from Acts that I'm going to share in a moment occurred after Pentecost, when many believers had come to Jerusalem and Judea to learn more about Jesus. They were there without a home or without a job, but they were willing to hear about Jesus and begin to share about Jesus. But they had nothing with them. The sharing heart of the early church is a true example of their attitude towards each other and their attitude towards material possessions. Selfishness had not been a part of the church community. Believers may have felt it was unfaithful to invest and hoard things. When someone needed something, they would provide it. Shelter, shoes, clothing. I'll be reading Acts 4, starting with 32 and 33. "All the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and God's grace was so powerfully at work in all of them." And stop there. That's how it all began, with God's Spirit among them all the believers. They recognized that God owned everything. Because of the Spirit, it became easy to share all of the things that they had. They recognized that their needs would be met by others who believed. They recognized that others would care for them. Theologian Boyce reminds us this sharing. This unity is not conformity, where everyone is exactly alike. It is not organizational, where everyone must be forced into the same denomination. The worst times in the history of the church have been when everyone has been part of one large organization. It is not that kind of unity. We all have different gifts and different objects and different items and different things that we can share with others. We are encouraged to share those gifts with others. In the beginning, there was unity, and they kept God first. And they kept others second, and they kept things third. The resurrection of Jesus was preached, and they experienced God's grace. They were eager to hear God's word. They were eager to care for others. Moving on to verse 34. And God's grace was so powerfully at work in them all that there were no needy persons among them. For from time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to anyone who needed it, anyone who had a need. As I was studying this, I kept thinking of what on Facebook or on the news, anytime they show Kensington and those people who are so ill with addiction. Imagine if they had someone reaching out to them and providing for them and helping them to get off of drugs. Maybe some of them just needed someone to love them. That's what I kept thinking of. There's so many needs in this world. Verse 36, Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, whom the apostles called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field he owned and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. When the needs of the people arose, someone would give what they needed. There was a deep sense of compassion for one another. Compassion, the biblical definition, is showing or having mercy, or sympathy, or empathy, or pity, giving to those who are in need. There was a wonderful spirit of generosity. I call it love. Sadly, it didn't take too long for them to forget, or for people to forget, the importance of being conformed into the likeness of Christ, because that's how they were, but it became a forgotten skill. And Luke lets us know that they stopped thinking about unity in their heart and in their mind. Peter would later teach about who to help and how to help them. These verses are found in 1 Timothy. I'm reading 3 to 5 and then 9 to 13. Okay, so this is Peter sharing how do we know who to help and how to help. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, these should learn first of all to put their religion into practice by caring for their own family and so repaying their parents and grandparents. For this is pleasing to God. The widow who is really in need and left all alone puts her hope in God and continues night and day to pray and to ask God for help. Starting verse 9, no widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60, has been faithful to her husband, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. Thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. Besides, they get into the habit of being idle and going about from house to house. And not only do they become idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things that they ought not to do. Ought not to. Well, I read that a few times, working through what was being said, and I came up with, we should give proper recognition to the widows who are really in need. Those who are really in need. Discern who truly is needy. And if a person cannot support himself, he or she must provide for for themselves and provide for the others who are in need. Don't take advantage of the system. The family should support a needy person before the church steps in. Those who are supported by the church should make some return to the church body, become part of the church, be willing to support others. And before giving support, getting support from the church needs to examine the moral conduct of those in need. And when those in need come to church, they actually will grow in their moral conduct, right? Learning to be more like Jesus. Those who have the giving spirit as a gift from the Lord are very noticeable. You can look around this church and see those people. And we're so blessed. We're blessed when we have neighbors who have the giving spirit and family members who have the giving spirit. We're blessed by those who share their gifts. Here are examples from the Bible of those who had a spirit of compassion. I already shared about Joseph from the tribe of Levi. He became a notable example of his giving spirit as he sold his land when necessary, and he sold his materials when necessary. And he was filled with generosity and encouragement as the apostles and believers gathered together to learn about sharing the news of Jesus. Again, Jesus was eventually called Barnabas, which means the son of encouragement. In Luke 10:25-27, we learn of the Good Samaritan. He gave both short-term and long-term care to a man who had been beaten and robbed at the side of the road. In Mark 12:42-44, we learn about the little giver, the widow who gave her final two mites. She gave all that she had. That widow was trusting that God would walk with her and provide for her. The life givers, that's found in Acts 3:1-9. It's the story of John and Peter who had nothing, but they gave life to a lame man. The volunteer giver. This can be found in Luke 19:1-9. Zacchaeus gave goods to feed the poor while without being asked. He had stolen some tax money from his community and changed totally when he received the spirit of giving from Jesus. The aid giver, Acts 9:36-42. Dorcas, also known as Tabitha, helped the poor in whatever ways possible. And she helped the poor by making clothing for them. The greatest giver. This is found in John chapter 3:16-17. God gave his only begotten son for you and me that we might be saved. The greatest giver. How do we as believers share our possessions and our gifts? Think about that. I'm going to ask you to respond to possibly a time where you were able to give a gift or someone graciously shared their gifts with you. I was blessed to have breakfast with Penny Noggle and Sandy Landis yesterday. And they shared what they were doing in the afternoon. Penny was going to visit her 84-year-old friend and take her out to lunch. This is Penny, who had just driven in from Lancaster for breakfast with us, and then she was going to take her girlfriend out to lunch before traveling home. Sandy, who got up early to have breakfast with us, was going to get back into her car and drive to King of Prussia because there's a family from her church who has a child who is in the hospital there having difficulties. I thought, man, they are sharing their gifts. My father told me a story about when he was in 10th grade. His father was a horse trainer, They went to one of the farms where they were having an auction of the house and the farm, and they ran into a pastor, a father from the Catholic Church. Dad didn't know the father, but he thought that his dad may have known the father from the Catholic Church. And without knowing it, the father from the Catholic Church bought a box of old historical hardback books for my dad and gave it to my grandpa and said, "Here, this is for your son." My dad still has some of those books, hardback, heavy historical books. And my father is a great history buff. Maybe it was started at that time. I don't know. But that was truly a gift because my dad was very poor and they didn't buy books. They didn't have money for books. I think I told you about his teacher that during the summertime was selling the encyclopedias, A through Z. And my grandmother listened, but of course they were not able to buy the books. But they gave my father the A book out of the encyclopedias that he had. So every report that my dad wrote, it had to have a main topic with that, starting with the letter A. People gifted books. Probably changed my father's life. My first experience with COVID was during a scary time because we had no idea what COVID was, and I live with my 80-year-old parents. And I remember thinking and being in bed and thinking, I just can't open my eyes, I just can't get out of bed, thinking that my parents were truly going to be suffering because no one wanted to visit us and it was just this crazy time of being very scared. And there were people from this church who delivered fruit and delivered food and juices and water for my family. That was a gift. I was sharing with Trudy this morning, when she was 11 years old, the barn roof had collapsed from her family farm. And 20 or more people from Trinity Church, including some who had been professors at Ursinus, came over and actually helped her dad to clean up the barn, and thankfully no cows were hurt. These are gifts that people are sharing. Are there any examples that you have in your mind where you were able to share your gift, or where somebody came to help you sharing their gifts? Would you like to share?
So, just real quick, there's this pastor that Karis and I listened to during the past 5 weeks. And the one sermon I listened to earlier in the week was basically the pastor was saying that we don't own anything. That we're meant to be just managers, whatever God gives to us.
Yep. It's amazing.
So if you take that approach and you take that philosophy, I think the world would be a lot of people would be more giving if they took that philosophy. And that really hit me too, because I think about the house that I have, other things, I don't need to mention, but it's just it makes you rethink your approach in this world and what you're supposed to do and what you have.
So we don't.
I've been for a long time. I've been helping my mom out.
Yes.
And I thank God for blessing me with a good job and steady work and steady income, so I was able to do that.
And I bet that if you didn't have such a good job, you would still have a servant's heart and try to care for her as best you could.
Yep.
That's hard. Yeah.
To have that spirit of gifting, right? Thank you, Matt.
Right when COVID started, of course, all the schools went virtual. And I just found out that we were going to have about 20 to 25 students in our classes because since we're virtual, we were going to be able to do that. And I was talking to my brother. We've had happy hour because, again, we weren't able to get together. Again, as you all know, they're in Arizona. Anyway, So, you know, when I'm talking to them, I said, well, remember, this is, well, anyway, he says, so we had that, we continued on, and I said, well, I'm going to be teaching, I'm this summer, I'll have 20, 25 kids. And my brother calls me after we're all done, he calls me, and I'm like, oh my goodness, what happened? It's 9:30 at night. Something happened, because...
Yeah, you get worried.
And we just got done, and we said, anyway, he says, Kathy, I'm going to buy you a 55. Well, he said, I'm going to buy you a 65-inch television. Because you can't teach 25 kids on a...
little screen.
Little screen. And I said, well, that's not... that's what I have.
Yeah.
You know, not that, and not that I couldn't afford one of those things. Anyway, point being, he ended up buying me a 55-inch smart... thing.
Yeah.
I don't.
You didn't even ask for it.
I didn't ask for it. He said, no, that's okay.
Yeah.
And again, my brother wasn't putting himself out. He is quite able to, what he does quite well. But I mean, again, it was something that.
Yep. He has a servant's heart, and he knew that it would be a little bit easier for you, and he loves you.
Yeah.
What a way to show Jesus' love, too, right? It's wonderful. Know that your generosity matters, no matter how small or how large. Your generosity matters. We need to practice using our time and talents to help others. Take a moment just to think, who can I support? Who can I help? Who can I love a little bit more? Don't be afraid to open your hearts to others. Allow them to feel valued and loved. Give when you have plenty, and give when you don't have plenty. Be willing to share, and know that God is a multiplier of gifts. Show kindness, loyalty, and love to those in need. Don't let your excuses keep you from the joy and blessing that comes from giving. Our God is a merciful God. When we acknowledge that we are broken, we humbly glorify God. He is glorified when we come to Him and lovingly ask for love, support, and whatever our needs are. Do not live in despair. Live to glorify God. Be the embodiment of the living God. Do people see God in your heart, in your actions, in your words? Each of us has been blessed with the opportunity to begin over again. If you feel that your life has been turning inward and you're barely able to get through with what you need to get through, take the opportunity to step out. Let someone know that Jesus loves them. Jesus is alive, and he is among us, and he is within us. And the church should look like love in its everyday functions. The motivation and purpose of our church is love. We are very blessed. Let us continue to strive to be who Christ has called us to be. I'll be reading Psalm 133. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live in unity together. It is like precious oil poured on the head, running down on the beard, running down on Aaron's beard, down on the collar of his robe. It is as if the dew of Hermon were falling on Mount Zion. For there the Lord bestows his blessings, even life forevermore. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live in unity. That's my prayer for us this week. Let us pray. May we learn to be more like you, dear Jesus, loving those around us with all of our heart and all of our mind, our soul, and our strength. Help us to stay in unity with those around us. Help us to love others a little bit more this week. We honor you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.